Hello, everybody, and welcome to another brand new Footloose and Fancy Free episode of Back to Basics. I am even still Pastor Don, and I'm joined again by the lovely, the magnificent, the wonderful, the not at all a hippie, but maybe she is, Courtney Fraley.
I'm absolutely hippie, and I will not apologize for that.
Perfect. So we are going to try to keep things short for you for the next episode or two, because we're tying up kind of the end of the Isaac story and kind of the lean into the Jacob story. We got
haven't recorded in a really long time, and we need to catch up.
Yeah, that's kind of a thing too. We do really need to catch up. Also, we're jumping around vacations and stuff here, so try to get all this stuff in while we can. It's a thing. But we got to make sure we've got all sorts of fresh and fun Bible content for all of you tens of listeners who may or may not be watching. For today, we are going to be in Genesis chapter 35, verses 1 through 15, where we're going to be talking about Jacob's return to Bethel. After that, we're going to go on to our next episode, where we're going to be talking about the birth and death of the birth of Benjamin, death of Rachel, the introduction of the 12 tribes. Then we got a whole load of genealogies and stuff after that, which we're going to tack on. And then, dear viewer, comes the part where I know you're all waiting for, which is going to be about 2-3 episodes hence, the beginning of the story of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor human trafficking story. It's going to be a fun one, probably. But for today, we are going to start
I got to pull one of yours. For any of you that are somehow just chiming in now, hi. But
yeah, hi, welcome.
We have been... and will continue to be just tearing apart every biblical hero known, because, spoiler, they were human. And a part of the whole message of the Bible is, y'all fuck up. Everybody does. That's not the first minute of the video. Oh, wait, no, we don't have to worry. We're not monetized. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, it's all
right. I was like, I don't trust yet. I gotta wait.
We're a church program. We don't make money. All right, so Genesis chapter 35, which I will lovingly kick over to my wonderful co-host for the reading. Would you like to take it away?
Yeah, absolutely. Jacob returns to Bethel. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and settle there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go up to Bethel, that I may make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had and the rings that were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak that was near Shechem. Okay. As they journeyed, a terror from God fell upon the cities all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother. And Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died, and she was buried under an oak below Bethel. So it was called Elon Bakuth. God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram, and he blessed him. God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall you be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he was called Israel. God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall spring from you. The land that I gave to Abraham and to Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had spoken with him. Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone, and he poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the place where God had spoken with him Bethel. And that was the section you wanted read, correct?
Yep, that is our reading for today, in which stuff happens.
Yeah,
several
things.
Yeah, I'll hit a couple of points here first before we start kind of digging into specifics. One thing that's worth noting is that there's a lot of repetition here, like things that have happened before and broader themes that have happened before. The reiteration of the promise to the descendants of Abraham, the reiteration of the renaming of Jacob to Israel, all of that. Repetition is a big thing in the Bible, like mostly because it's meant to tie generational connections together. So this harkens back to when we were dealing with oral histories, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So
Repetition will make you remember something.
Yeah, when you're dealing with oral histories that are being told like campfire stories night after night, you wouldn't be able to flip back two or three pages and go, oh, yeah, this is what they said in page 285 mm-hmm. or page 394 if you're making a terrible joke. They wouldn't be able to do that. So it would have to be repeated again and again and again and again. And for the record, the joke was made specifically at Alan Rickman and not at She Who Shall Not Be Named. Anyway.
Yes. I hadn't. How have I not heard that out loud before? It's wonderful. Moving on.
That has to be done. Anyway. So
can I just start kind of pinging at you? Keep going. Go ahead.
No, before we start pinging that, that's the point I wanted to make is, the repetition of the promise and stuff like that, like it's not a reshaping of it. It's not really like, oh, hey, this is multiple stories kind of grammed together, which, you know, it is, but it's mostly just an artifact of the oral storytelling form of repetition. Like, okay, now we're on to Jacob and God's going to reiterate the promise to Jacob. It'll pop up again in big ways and small throughout the lineage. Like the conversations.
It's had a review episode. Yeah, like in an anime where there's just an entire episode that's the clip show. Well, it's not just an anime, but my inner weeb is showing. But like on a show where they have a clip show and it's all like flashback stuff and like,
yeah, and
story so far.
You know, this is honestly, in some respects, it's kind of the shades of gray of Genesis right here, which, you know, is why a lot of people skip over it. And there may have been a writer's strike involved in it if you consider oral storytelling a writer's strike, but now I'm getting deep into my Star Trek backstory here and I'm sure nobody's following that, so let's move on. Specific points, what jumped out at you in this particular passage?
In chronological order, I understand all of the, you know, purify yourselves, change your clothes, put away these other gods and you know, come with me thing. That seems all fairly, you know, boilerplate, like just purification and, mm-hmm. you know, dedication. It seems very just standard religious ceremony. The rings that were in their ears, very out of place. Those haven't been mentioned until now.
It seems out of place to us because the concept of religious jewelry is not entirely gone, but mostly gone in kind of modern faith tellings. But like, archaically speaking, the concept of there being religious jewelry was kind of a thing. All right. So the religious jewelry, like that's a thing that was very well.
Does this connected. Count as religious jewelry? For people listening on the pod, I've got a peace sign necklace that I got out of a vending machine for 50 cents in middle school. And like,
I mean, peace is a Christian concept. So sure. Why not? Like
Jesus is the Prince of Peace, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, personally, I'm fine with that interpretation. However, the point I'm making is that jewelry that is specifically intended to be part of your faith practice. So not just simply displaying a religious sigil because, hey, I'm Christian, and if I put the ichthys on the back of my car, people won't run into me quite so much. Notwithstanding the fact they might think you're an evangelical and run into you more.
Now, Don, at what point do we resort to violence?
I didn't say I was condoning it. I was saying it's a risk.
Anyway, the subconscious does things sometimes.
It's been known to. My point, though, is that like the whole ring cuffs in the ear thing, I read somewhere once that it may have been a sign of conversion, like some of them may have been following older polytheistic deities and maintained a faith practice that they were kind of setting aside there. Could be. I don't have enough archaeological background and my altar commentaries are in another building, so I don't have access to them. But either way, it's just kind of like a sign of a marking of the covenant where basically, hey, this is jewelry we have. What is religious? We're going to take that off and we're going to start afresh. That's pretty much all it is.
Okay. And then he hides them under an oak tree. That seems like a weirdly like offhanded treatment for something that seemed very ceremonial up until that point.
Well, like when you consider you're in the desert and oak trees aren't exactly super common. Like, I mean, fig trees, sure, other types of trees. Not a lot of oak trees rounding about the desert in there. So there are some. Like, they're not like not there, but they are rarer and good indications of good soil and pleasant places and possibly even maybe connected with divinity as a result. So yeah, burying them under an oak tree. Given the fact that modern Christianity in its fight against the pagans has kind of
seems pretty pagan to me, if that's what you're saying.
We have what we would modernly call paganistic origins. Like, we have a naturalistic, naturopathic element to the faith that has been kind of abandoned over the last 1,000 years as we've been like, screw you pagans. But it's still there.
I picked the right outfit for this episode. It's getting crunchy here.
Yeah. Episode, what are we, 51, 52, Jacob outs himself as a hippie. That'll be the title. There we go. But no, the introduction of oak trees, the stacking of stones and things like that. Like, these are archaic religious practices, but they are religious practices that are tied into our history as well. Like, they're there. They're not like things that only outsiders do. Like, we didn't do. Like, it's part of who we are. It may not connect for a lot of us, it doesn't connect to where we are in our faith journeys today, but that doesn't mean it's not valid. And that's
That should maybe inspire a little bit more tolerance from people too.
One would think. I mean, you and I have had off-camera conversations about what kind of paganistic or naturopathic sort of practices fit in with Christianity. And the answer is kind of all of them. Like, a lot of these things either have their roots in or
are you worshiping another god?
Yeah. If no, then does it connect you to God? Yeah. Like, if it connects you to God, then yeah, fine. Like, you're probably not going to find a place in Christian history, dating back to even when it was Jewish history, where we didn't at some point have something that resembled that. So, be careful about your intentionality with it, to be sure. Make sure you're, keeping it to God. But other than that, practice-wise, there's a lot of stuff that fits.
Well, frankly, as somebody who gets up to the kind of things that it looks like I get up to, mm-hmm. that, wouldn't be, would be given side eye at a lot of churches. Setting intention is very important in anything along those lines. So I will draw a curtain over that. Yeah.
But, so moving on from there, I'm guessing verse 5 is going to probably bring you a question.
Honestly, between this and having been raised in the church, a lot of Old Testament what the fuckery just kind of flies past me. I'm like, okay, yeah, a terror from God fell upon the cities all around them so that no one pursued them. Sounds about right. They were scared. They were supernaturally scared, and so they didn't F around with Jacob and his crew.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, raises the question, fucking why? Were they afraid of being pursued? Pursued for what?
That did occur to me.
to paraphrase the wise words of Android 16 from Dragon Ball, data not found. It's not there. Like, it's quite possible, given the family history, that Jacob got up to some shit. And also, let's consider too, we're coming at the end of a very not positive interaction that they had just last episode in 34, where they definitely killed a whole bunch of people over a rape. And I'm willing to bet that there were people in the region that were less than pleased with the various murders Jacob and his folk had just committed. And we talked about that in the last episode. If you want to find a good discussion about us, how far is too far when avenging rape? Where does justice and retribution kind of, where's that line? That, go back to the last episode. We did that.
Yeah. Back.
I'm not going to dig into that again here because there are opinions to be had on that. Anyway,
if you ever think I'm skipping on hitting him on something, please say so in the comments. It is my job to effectively be the low-level adversary here and be like, okay, make me believe this. Explain this to me.
Oh, fuck, apologetics is a field. Sorry. Anyway. The lack of pursuit here, there might have been being pursued for that one. Like, the way it was cast in the last chapter was they did the just and righteous thing by being vengeful, even though Jacob was kind of pissed about that. Well, Jacob may have been pissed about it because now people are going to be chasing them. But hey, we have this terror from God that kind of soothes that over so we can focus on the rest of the story and keep our distance from that whole thing that just happened.
Yeah.
So then we have the reiteration of the name change here, right?
Yep.
Which, again, I talked about that at the beginning. Reiteration and repetition is kind of the name of the game when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
Then we get to the stacking of the stones. And this was something that I thought was worth mentioning, the pouring out of a drink offering. And I want to mention that because this does pop up in ancient Christian, ancient Hebrew faith practices, the idea of a drink for the divine or a drink for the departed, things like that. This one always has. Yeah, this is one that still exists in Japanese funeral practices. Is you go to a Japanese gravesite and people will routinely leave a cup of tea or something stronger on the grave when they're visiting. Like that, the concept of a drink for the dearly departed is something that exists in almost every culture. And if you're looking to me to provide an answer for why I ain't got one.
That's cool.
I do not know why we do that, but that is something that is, it is weirdly universal. And so sometimes it's a drink for God. Sometimes it's a drink for someone who's dead. And in any case, it's a drink for someone who is divinely not here. And that's one of the kind of universal cultural practices that has always had me maintaining a belief in something greater than myself, because that is something that is wholly illogical, but also wholly universal. Like just about every culture that I've encountered has got some aspect of that in their funereal or religious practices, and it defies logic. Like there's no reason for that. And what do we subconsciously know in that? Like,
seriously, pouring one out for dead homies is like the only version of that I can think of from an American perspective. What the hell?
But if you think about that, though,
the point that, sorry, you know me, I love that kind of ceremony, that kind of just sometimes putting a physical motion and action and like symbols that you can touch helps something connect.
Congratulations, you've discovered liturgy. That's really what liturgy is just doing exactly that in a formal way. But yeah, you're right about that. Like the idea of pouring one out, like that is, everybody's got that. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like the mirror root for to see, like so many different people have it and they don't have the same origin. And what the hell, where did that come from? Like, we don't know where that one comes from, but there's probably something much bigger at work, either in our universal collective unconscious or something that is divine peeking through reality, or just some trace remnant of knowledge that we have from our time as spirits outside the world. Who knows? And that
now one, you're speaking my language. Yeah. This is the kind of shit that I've been coming to you with for years, but like where I'm like, but what if, and you're like, yeah, maybe. Like you're ordained. What the hell is this? And you're like,
I hate to break it to you, but as I've told you many times before, and I will tell our dear listeners and / viewers as well, being a pastor don't mean I got the answers. Being a Christian don't mean I got the answers. Christianity doesn't necessarily have all the answers. Like the whole point of the faith is not to say, hey, here's a list of answers to all of your questions. The whole point of Christianity is come together as a group who say what to fuck in the same language. And I say language in a general sense, because we do actually worship quite a lot of different actual languages. I meant to say, what the hell, in all the same ways. Anyway, continue with your thought.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm reminded of a line from Dogma, actually, you know, about...
I just rewatched that. Damn good movie.
About, the difference between just, like, a belief and an idea. It's like, we've got a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
That we choose to believe in, you know, like...
Yeah, and you know, problematics of Chris Rock notwithstanding, like his character Rufus there had the right point. Like, you don't, like, faith and belief structures are useful tools, but at the core of it is an idea. I think I know. And the difference between a belief is I don't care what you say, I know. An idea is I'm pretty sure, I think I know, but I'm going to learn and go as I go along.
It's one of those things that I don't understand how it ever caught on in Christianity, because, and apparently I'm just going to keep referencing various franchises this evening, but just the ineffable plan thing. Sorry, spoilers from Good Omens. Like, plug your ears if you haven't seen the end of Good Omens and you intend to. So,
or just pause it and go watch it, because come on.
Oh my God, yes. It won't take you that long. I mean, good Lord.
Get a hold of it before season 2 comes out. It's worth doing. Anyway.
So good. It's so good. Anyway. Yeah,
Amazon sponsor our podcast. Anyway.
But yeah, the idea being, you know, the day is effectively saved in part because like, hey, nobody can know God's plan. Yeah. It is his ineffable plan. We all believe that, right? Okay. Well, then how do you know that you not know how all of this stuff is supposed to go and what every word is supposed to mean and how this is supposed to play out?
Yeah. And this is where I'll land for this episode, at least, is the great statement of faith of the Christian religion is, I don't know, but I trust. That is why we have a religion. We're not here to say, I know this. These are the specific details. There'll be a horseman, rivers of blood, all that bullshit. No, we're here to say, I don't know, but I'm choosing to trust instead. That's what faith is. Faith is a statement of a lack of knowledge, not a presence of it. And when we forget that is when we become murderers and crusaders and colonialists and worse. So that's where I'm ending on with this. It wasn't exactly what the passage was about, but fuck it. That's where we wound up anyway.
Yeah, this is Bible study be that way sometimes. Yeah. And again, this was a recap episode. So we've done like certain shows will do. And there's the one bit that's very important that they shoehorn into the recap episode. So
yeah,
that
that's exactly it. Yeah, the moral of the story, which had nothing to do with all those clips we just watched, but what the hell? Here we are. So that's, I think, a good place for us to stop for today, unless you got any questions.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'm happy with what we've done here today.
All right. Well, dear listener, as per usual, I want to invite you to actually join our freaking community. Like, the videos are great and we have fun doing them, but like, we have an actual church community that, oh my God, is getting big. We just passed 60 people on the Discord server. Admittedly, some of them are bots, I'll admit, which are there by our own invitation. They're not like porn bots or anything like that.
No, like
our Bible bots. Bot and things like that.
Yeah.
So really probably about like 50, 55 ish, you know, some active, some not, but hey, that's good numbers for a church community, even on the best of days. So,
and you are totally welcome. Anyone who wants to come and just, yeah, you know, be our virtual church mouse.
Yeah. And to give you an idea, like,
and look, and you don't have to participate. If you just want to listen, that's okay.
Yeah. Some of the conversations,
and if you want to get in on every conversation, that's okay too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Some of the conversations we're having right now are, oh my God, aliens. And why does that matter? Because we still have to deal with the homeless and the fact that no one can eat and the planet's on fire. We're having a conversation about how screwed up Paul was in practice and how we can really actually read some of his stuff.
We've been dunking on the House of Israel here for a while on the show. Yeah. But we've been dunking on Paul for like 6 months on the Discord. Yeah.
To be clear, the only reason we're dunking on the Old Testament biblical heroes here is because we started in Genesis. And over on the Discord server, we've been dunking on Paul for years. So come join us in that. We're equal opportunity for when it comes to dunking on fuck-ups in the Bible.
Spoilers, your Bible heroes, all of them. All of them are human.
Yeah, fun fact, Paul was
except
the first
Jesus,
non-denominational
was also God,
asshole.
So,
I said, fun fact, Paul was the first non-denominational asshole in Christian history. Anyway. That being said, join us on Discord. Links are down below. We have a monthly worship service, which is happening and going pretty good. You can that comes out live on YouTube and participatory in the Discord server. So join us for that first of every month. By the time this has come out, we've already passed August, which is good because we're not having one in August. But we will be kicking out good in September. So come join us for that. Otherwise, you can get a hold of me if you have any questions. I'm usually pretty quick on responding to those things. But other than that, you go and have yourself a wonderful week.
Like, share, and subscribe.
Oh, yeah. Do the thing what she tells you to do. It helps. Please like, share, thing. Subscribe, thank and all you. Those things. Also,
please,
bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.